Hey guys, Mark from the GAK.co.uk Guitar Shop podcast here. Just dropped in at the beginning of the podcast to remind you all that if you want the inside scoop on any news or any deals that we've got going on at the shop, do follow us on Twitter at GAK_co_UK. You can also follow the podcast guys individually. You can follow me at Mark_random. You can follow Matt at Matt_nightsy. You can follow Jay at JAYBN1. And you can follow Joe at Joseph_900. Hello and welcome to the GAK.co.uk Guitar Shop podcast. I'm your host Mark Packham, who is with me this evening.
Hello, my name's Jay. I'm the assistant manager here in Mark's flat.
Good.
And I am the manager of Mark's flat.
What's your name?
My name's Matt.
Excellent. There we go. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another ridiculous year of the GAK.co.uk Guitar Shop podcast. No Joe Branton this evening. He is out. I think he's got band practice or something. I don't know.
He does.
Rubbish
he's
bands that he's in.
Music.
Yeah, he's doing music in that. Whereas we don't do that. We just talk about guitars instead. I hope everyone had a good Christmas and that and a good New Year. Did you guys?
A couple of weeks.
Well, yeah, I was here with you.
Yeah, you. Well, for a little bit of Christmas, yeah.
Oh, well, for New Year.
And New Year's.
Yeah, oh yeah, you were both here on New Year's. Yeah, it was
Hillbilly
good.
Style, it was great.
Yeah, it was just, you know, awesome.
I think the pitch did go up on the group, didn't it?
It did, yeah, it was good. Nice to have you all here for the Christmas, except Joe, we don't care about that.
Not bothered.
Did you get any guitar-related stuff for Christmas?
I got a Chaos Pad Mini.
Did you? Yeah. I didn't know that. What have you been doing with it?
I am currently working out a way that I can run it on my pedal board, which is part of the reason that thing I posted up on the group recently about the little patch thing. I was like, I could probably like patch in a Chaos Pad into
my pedal
board.
I was going to say, one of the things that I've got down to talk about tonight is you put up some pictures of your new 2015 pedal board revamp.
Yeah,
and that you've got like a little looper in there.
Yeah, so it's effectively like the MXR loop box.
Yeah.
So just like a, you know, it's just a box that doesn't do anything apart from it's got an effects loop in which you can turn on and off. So one, it's really handy for super noisy effects or turning on two or three effects at once. But I thought, well, if you have that, you can have it underneath the pedal board. You can use it as like a pedal board expander.
Yeah. So you can have something off to the side.
F to the side, something like a wah pedal that you wouldn't use that often or something like that. And I thought, actually, like, one, I got the Space Echo. And the thing with that is you don't want to keep turning the motor on and off on the stop-start button because you'll burn the motor out.
Yeah. So you're just leaving it running the whole time and then you bring it in with a loop.
Yeah, yeah. And then I thought, with the Chaos Pad, you could do the same. So I thought that was quite a cool
idea.
You're
going to have like two loop boxes set up, one for the Chaos Pad, one for the...
Yeah, so that was kind of that. And I thought it was a good way to expand your kind of pedal board or if you want to take other things with you. But yeah, Chaos Pad Mini, it's good fun.
What have you been doing with it? You've been filtering some guitar?
Yeah, I thought, well, after inspired by the Ibanez, I was like, I haven't actually done it yet, but I was like, I could just Velcro this onto the side of my guitar and then just...
You could do that.
Yeah, and I just thought... But actually, I've got like a little sequencer and I thought, oh, that's quite cool for just filter effects. And recording is really handy for it as well.
What, it can record into the Chaos Pad?
No, but you could do, if you could, like reamp, you can send out and then you can filter it live and then record what you're doing. But it's also got an auxiliary in and you can put MP3s into it as well and muck around with MP3s.
Not but like the auxiliary actually into it, but you can run an audio signal in.
Yeah,
you?
Yeah.
That's really like pretty full on.
And I mean, for what though? What we still doing them for £49?
I think they're £49. Yeah. I think they might have even gone down to £47.
Yeah.
Or like £48.
Is there a new one coming out?
But who knows when?
Yeah, but I think Korg got some good stuff. I think on the way. I saw there's a new little drum machine on the way, like a little practice drum machine they're doing.
Yeah.
Which customer from the Facebook group actually asked about.
That wasn't the pitch. No, the clip hit, was it?
No, but they look awesome.
Yeah. I've not had a chance to play with one yet. I really want to try the clip hit.
Yeah, I think loads of the ones we had sold out. But yeah, you can just attach the clips to anything and then it makes little
drum sound. Yeah, attach them to like your legs and stuff and then when they hear a slap, they trigger a drum sound.
Yeah, well, because I know they had one where you put it in your shoe for the bass drum.
Yeah.
And then when you put your foot on the ground.
Drum. That was for the wave drum, wasn't it?
The wave drum mini.
Very good. Very exciting stuff.
But Chaos Pad, yeah, it's good fun. For £49, a great little thing for guitarists. Or anyone, really. But yeah, guitarist is quite cool because you can filter loads of guitar stuff and create little drum beats.
Jay Cross, do you get anything guitar-related?
Some picks.
You got some picks?
No, I didn't get picks. No, Matt bought me a bottle of gin. That's okay. From a manager of a guitar shop. Does that count?
That is guitar related. Yeah,
yes,
definitely.
Yeah. Matt bought me a bottle of... I don't know where it is, actually. I left it at the shop somewhere.
Oh, I put it somewhere safe.
Okay.
At your house.
In my house.
Yes. In your stomach.
Yeah.
Matt bought me a bottle of gin. My sister bought me an AeroPress, which is for making coffee.
Okay.
And I drink coffee whilst at work.
Yeah, that's totally related.
So I guess that's guitar related.
Yeah.
I don't think I got anything else. No. Anything guitar related. I've got everything.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, I thought about asking. I kind of want to get a Nano Big Muff, Electromonics Nano Big Muff. But then I thought, I need to try some stuff before.
The thing is, the only way that I would have got something that I wanted would have been if, like,
tell someone exactly what you wanted.
But then it's like either I don't want them to buy it
from me,
or from anyone else. So
I think my problem is that I trade and sell like so much guitar stuff. I was like, don't buy me anything like a pedal, because in 6 months I'm probably just going to trade it away.
Just
sell
it, get rid of it.
Yeah. So I was just like,
just books and that. Socks.
Yeah, books. Oh, I did get some socks.
I got some good socks. My mum always gets me socks. And every year she's like, I don't want you to, do you like these? I'm like, I genuinely, socks.
Socks can be expensive.
And two, right. Good socks.
Good socks is good.
It's important.
A couple of things that have happened since we've been away. A couple of new pedals that I think we should talk about before we get deep into the Facebook questions. First up, this was announced sort of a week ago. Ibanez Tube Screamer Mini.
Yeah.
What is it?
A mini Tube Screamer.
Okay, I kind of got that. Do we know what it's voice
I think,
what
it's,
an, voice
I think
like?
It's an 808, I think.
It looked like an 808.
Yeah. I assume that they've just managed to cram that circuit into a small box.
Well, I think now is that so many people, you can layer circuit boards, and I think that's the thing in those. You can just, but I mean, it's, you know, everyone's kind of jumping on that bandwagon slightly, isn't it?
Mini pedals.
I mean, you know, I plugged a guy in today into the Strymon Lex. Sounded amazing, obviously. And then we plugged into the Soul Shiver, which is the little rotary pedal.
Yeah,
it didn't sound as good, but...
Wait, who makes that?
Moore.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it was mini. It was going to fit on his pedal board. He wasn't going to have to move too much stuff around. And, you know, it's a third of the price. I think if he was like, if you're going to use it all the time, you might go for something bigger. But just those mini pedals, like, if you need one sound.
Yeah.
Like the Shimverb. If you just want a little bit of Shimmer reverb, but you're not going to use it all the time.
It's nice
great.
To put in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, like I was saying, I want to get a Nano Big Muff. I'd like to go for the, you know, the big... Don Daddy, the original, but the Nano one's so small, can just squeeze it on that board without too much hassle.
I know they are really good. That I think that's the perfect size, really. That kind of MXR size thing,
definitely, because it means they're not rocking from side to side, but they are.
Because that's the only problem with some of the mini pedals is
they're just rocking. Yeah.
Some of those mini pedals on some of the like pedal trains, they just fit.
There's like not quite enough there to hold on.
And then you have to put them sideways, and just pedal sideways. You're always like, oh,
it doesn't look quite as good.
Yeah.
No, I think the mini Tube Screamer is going to be good. I assume that they're going to be showing that off at NAMM.
About 80 quid or something like that?
The other thing. That's why I'm not sure whether it... I mean, it can't just be the 808 in a small box, because it's a lot less money.
No.
I don't know. We'll see what it is. Maybe it's like a 909 in an 808 box.
Maybe.
It looks cool.
Maybe it's just, I don't know.
No.
We'll have to wait and see.
And the other big pedal announcement this week...
Yesterday.
Oh my word.
As we're recording this.
Oh my word.
Bass Soul Food.
Gear of the year.
Yes, I'm saying.
I mean, should we just stop the podcast now?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you've won 2015's Gear of the Year, the Electromonics Bass Soul Food.
Congratulations.
No, I don't know, actually, because I'm sure in the next couple of weeks, as NAMM rolls around, there's going to be so much new good stuff.
I mean, it looks great. Do you know what? I'm actually surprised they called it the Bass Soul Food and didn't just call it the Soul Food Deluxe. Because they did a demo, Electromonics did one, and they did one in conjunction with another big online kind of pedal demo, company, and they used loads of guitar on it, and it just sounds really good for guitar. It's just that wet dry. I think it just means that you'll be able to kind of leave it on all the time, but then still dial it. Like, you know, we've been saying about compressors with mix controls, you'll be able to leave it on all the time, but just still dial in a little bit of your standard. Dry guitar sound.
It's almost like a kind of fat soul food, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's going to have a bit more bottom end, and you're going to be able to blend your clean signal with the drive signal.
The only thing that I think they should do is the double. Yeah. That's the one I'm hoping that does come out.
What, two soul foods?
What's in the green turnips?
The Holy Grail Max and the soul food.
The Holy Grail Max isn't a pedal, is it?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. Which one's the Holy Grail Max?
You've got the Nano Holy Grail, the Holy Grail Plus, and then the Holy Grail Max, which has got an extra setting on it. It's the same size as the Holy Grail Plus.
Is it?
Yeah.
Right.
It's kind of one of those ones. It's kind of just like slipped under the radar, and it doesn't really do much different from the.
Yeah.
But the guy that bought the Moor pedal earlier also bought a soul food, and I was like, the problem with the soul food is you kind of want to buy two of them.
Yeah.
Because you want to leave one. I said, this is the clean boost setting. He's like, oh, that sounds amazing. And I was like, and here's the drive. And he's like, that's also amazing. I was like, yeah, and the problem is you can't use both. You want to use the clean boost, and then you want to kick on the drive.
Yeah.
So I would be surprised if there isn't a double one.
That's kind of why I'm thinking about getting that Nano Muff. Like, obviously it's a completely different sound, but I just want something else. Like, I'm finding pretty much that I just leave the soul food on all the time. Yeah. And then I want another drive sound. And I know it's like a fuzz and it's completely different, but for what I do at home, I just want something a bit more ridiculous and a bit more full on, you know.
Yeah. It's there's so many cool pedals that came out in 2014. I just wish they did like a double, like Echoplex double or
Echoplex double, just cascading two Echoplex preamps into one another.
Yeah. Yes. Like so the epitome quadruple.
Yeah.
Four pogs.
Yeah,
four pogs.
I kind of want them to do like a dual carbon copy.
That'd be nice.
Two analog delays in one box. That'd be cool.
Two words: gaffer tape.
Yeah,
just two together.
The Megatron.
Not the Megatron.
I'm still excited for like a wah, which you can attack. Also comes with a shoe.
So you just put your foot in the shoe.
Yeah.
And you order the wire in different sizes.
Yeah. But then you can also use a wire with it. Like, I want to use a wire with a wire strapped to my foot. Obviously not me, because that would be dreadful, but I think you
It wouldn't be difficult to build that with stuff that you can buy.
Well, yeah, a shoe, two crybabies and some duct tape.
Well, kind of, but you could also build... This would be complicated, and my understanding of it definitely won't be right. But what you could do, you could hook a computer up with Max MSP, which is like a control program that takes like data. You could buy a Wii controller, like a Wiimote.
Okay.
Put that like in the side of a shoe.
Yeah.
And tell Max MSP to control a filter, like a wire filter, based on the gyro of the Wii control. So you could put that in the shoe, then run the wire pedal through Max MSP like all together, so you could have your foot as
how would it sound if you
could have a wireless wah, so you could do the wah motion with the Wiimote
that's what the Electro-Harmonix
there wouldn't even be a wah though.
You're making it way too complicated. Source audio, the hot ring,
put it on your toe
to the wah pedal, because you don't need to move the wah pedal, so you've got it on your hand and then you've got it on your foot.
The hot ring, right, we had a customer get in touch a few days ago, and they just bought the hot ring, and they kind of weren't really sure what they were doing. You have to run it with another pedal as well, don't you?
So, yeah, it doesn't just make noises out of thin air.
That'd be awesome if it did. Yeah.
there's two ways you can do it. You can either plug the, like, so it's almost like a wireless guitar. So you've got the transmitter, the ring, and then you've got the receiver.
Yeah.
So the receiver either plugs directly into a source audio pedal, or it plugs into the expression pedal.
Yeah.
That then goes out and into any pedal that's got expression. So it either then goes out into the receiver, which has got a little lead that comes out of it. You can use the hot ring to control anything that's got expression pedal in.
So you could plug it into a wah and then just do like a strumming pattern on the guitar, and it would be doing the wah in time with how you're strumming.
Yeah, if the wah had a remote out, which it probably wouldn't. Unless you plugged it into one of the Crybaby rack mount units. But that would be very excessive.
Yeah, that would be incredibly...
We've decided that's the point where it becomes excessive.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll
tell you what you could plug it into though. Doesn't the Boss Auto Wah have an expression in?
Yeah,
so you could plug it into that, get wah sounds just by moving your hand.
Yeah,
there we go.
And then
it's not quite what you're after.
And then you also plug a Crybaby in, and then you've got Waka Waka on the hand.
Which one do you go into first?
I would go into the Auto Wah first for that quacky tone.
Right.
And then the
Crybaby for the real Crybaby tone.
Guys, Christmas 2015 is... I've got it like nailed.
Yeah,
nailed
now you know
solid.
What people can
nailed
get
solid?
You.
I've got it nailed down.
Solid. Yeah.
Got it.
This kind of leads me on to our sort of last talking point before we get into questions.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
what are your gear wishes for 2015?
I'd really like a Electro-Harmonix Soul Food for the bass.
Okay, I've done that one.
Oh,
I've got
awesome,
that one.
Cool.
Got that one sorted.
Another thing I was thinking of was I really like the sound of the tube screamer.
Okay.
I can't quite fit it.
Where are you going with this?
Well, I can't quite fit it onto my pedal board. Do you know of anything?
They've got that sorted.
Oh, okay, fine. In that case, guys, I think that's me sorted. Thank you.
I want Strymon to do some sort of pitch-based pedal.
Yes.
That's the one thing they haven't done yet, and I want, like, a whammy, but from Strymon.
I was thinking about that today.
Do you know actually what I want? I want a pitchfork built into an expression pedal. Because they've got the Slammy, but the Slammy's on one of those weird cradle things.
Yes. Like the gyro.
So I want the pitchfork in the actual
I was thinking about it today. The whammy, is that any sort of, like, patented technology? Like how the Ebo is, like... You can only
I don't think there's any way you could. You could probably paint the design, but you can't, surely you can't paint a sound.
Because it is very strange, the fact that there isn't... Is there really anything else that does a
drop tune?
Yeah, well, I mean, the pitchfork. That's why the pitchfork's so good.
Yeah, but it's...
But you need...
You still need the expression pedal. Not as much as you do.
You obviously need to plug an expression pedal in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I wonder if they're going to do like a pitchfork deluxe, which is like
But the Slammy does that, but it's not as easy to use. I mean, I think they're probably... I don't think... Yeah, you can't paint the sound, but maybe the overall design of it probably is.
You went very low there.
We said this last year, but I want to see, after the merger of... Line 6 and Yamaha. I want to see the affordable Variacs.
Yeah.
It needs to go in the Pacifica.
Yeah, I mean, you say that. At the end of last month, the Variacs were... We were selling them for $699 or $599?
Yeah, I'm saying $399.
Yeah. They were offering a £100 rebate on them.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So they were all coming at a $549.
I think it was $549 all in. Yeah. Which is... pretty good.
Let's think about $399.
Do you know what I want to see? I want to see the reintroduction of Marshall Class 5s.
Okay.
Or Class 10s.
Class 15s.
The Class 15.
Sorry, a British-built single-channel 15 that's not... Or even, not even doesn't even have to be British-built, but like a more boutique-y 15-watt amp.
Than the DSL.
That's not the kind of ham-wide...
The Class 5 is great. The Class 5, Class 5 head.
I'm amazed they...
They did a Class 5 head.
Blues Junior head.
I mean, that's got to be the one. Blues Junior head has got...
Hot Rod Deluxe head, surely. Like, I'm surprised they haven't done that. Anything.
I mean, the Hot Rod Deluxe has been around long enough, you think they would have done, but...
The biggest selling Fender amp... One of the biggest selling amps of all time, I think. The Hot Rod Deluxe.
Yes. How about this? Let me run this one by you. Classic player, Baja, 70s, Tele.
Okay, I was thinking about this because we've had the, you know, what we would consider the 50s, and then there's the 60s.
Yeah.
So what would the 70s be? Would it be a 72 spec?
Just, no, I think
big
go...
Big headstock.
I reckon go late 70s. So, like, chunky neck, high gloss.
Okay.
Really big frets.
Yeah.
70s logo.
Yeah.
And then they've got like quite weird pickups in them. They're quite low output.
And it'd be, you could only get it in walnut.
No.
Or black.
Yeah, maybe. Walnut and black.
Yeah, those would be the two.
Imagine that though. Black telly, black plate, maple board, big chunky like squared off frets. Basically, that 70s telly that I used to have, that's what I want, but for £500.
All right. Squire Baja's.
Squire Baja's.
But like, they do that already in the classic vibe.
Yeah.
The classic vibe 50s and the classic vibe.
Not with the S1 though.
Not with the S1, but the S1 is only otherwise available in the American Deluxe guitars. I don't think they would put it into anything Squire.
No, I think you're right. Do you know what? After playing the Jackson PC1 Phil Collins signature extensively yesterday, I want to see a Fender Sustainiac Strat.
What about Baja Strat? That's what we need.
That's the next obvious one, isn't it? The Baja Strat.
Is that not just a classic player 60 Strat?
Yes, isn't it? Yeah.
It is, yeah, but, you know.
Needs a little tweak. Something.
I mean, needs to look a bit more like a telly.
Yeah.
With a telly neck.
Two telly pickups.
Yeah.
Yeah, telly body.
Anybody, yeah.
I'm surprised they haven't
just put Strat on the headstock.
I suppose it wouldn't really be any point. I'm saying you could do like a 59 Baja telly, but then it would just be a raised board. There wouldn't be that much.
How about reintroduction of the pink paisley and blue flower Strats and Tellys and P bases?
Did they? So we've had the black paisley stuff.
Yep.
Mm.
Was that the only paisley stuff that we've had recently?
Yeah, and the thing with that is it's not true paisley either.
Why not?
Because it's not the foil paper underneath.
Yeah, it's not paper.
Because
right.
My paisley Strat is the silver foil wallpaper that's then lacquered and sprayed. And the more modern stuff is just a print.
It's just a, okay. I can see them doing pink and blue paisley stuff again.
That'd be good.
Like, just an FSR run of stuff.
Paisley Blues Junior.
Oh, didn't they do one? I'm sure they did one.
Yeah. No, they did a paisley.
Yeah, they did a paisley blues junior.
Yeah, but it was black paisley.
It was black paisley.
Yeah, no, I mean like pink paisley,
one.
Proper.
I've literally no idea what Fender have got planned this year. Like,
I mean, I
know there's one amp, but I don't know if it's been announced yet.
But I wouldn't say it.
Okay.
Because we know a few things. Like, we're, you know, full disclosure, we know a few things that are coming out that we can't yet talk about.
Mm.
But Fender wise, I have absolutely no
but
idea.
Everyone's
did you
been
see
pretty
the
quiet, though.
Ibanez things that got announced today.
Music Radar, I've put up some stuff about.
Oh, fan fret basses.
Fan fret basses and Prestige Roadcore stuff.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen that.
Like, Prestige Roadcore in the same finishes that you can get the 721s in. So, Rosewood and like Flat Maple.
Okay. Yeah. What's the when
the
you say Roadcore?
The, like the offset style ones with the two humbuckers and the five-way switch.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. I saw the Fran Fret basses, which I'm sure Joe would be gushing over if he was here right now.
Yeah,
but
he was. He told me and Matt this morning.
I mean, Fran Frets.
The first time that we've had a Fan Fret bass available to us, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, there's not many people out there who do a Fan Fret.
I mean, you're looking at like custom build stuff. Again, Ibanez are, you know, just.
Today we
they
had
know what they're
a
doing, you know.
Custom order Music Man turn up today with one of the nicest necks I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, I didn't
see it. I saw a picture of Rosewood Bongo.
Roasted bird's eye maple neck.
Oh, that was it, yeah.
Looks so good.
Very nice.
Five string bongo. It's the first one I've ever seen. Actually, no, I think we had a six string one once.
We did have a six string bongo in purple. Metallic purple.
Was it the John Myung signature?
Yeah, that we think had? So. Yeah, or was it orange? Those basses, man, so weird, but so good. Should we do some questions?
Yeah.
These all come from our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds group, where a lot of the listeners from the show congregate and send us questions and chat to each other, and loads of people sharing pictures of their rigs and all their guitars and stuff. It's been good actually over Christmas. There's been a lot to, while we've been lazing around eating Christmas pudding,
they've been keeping the
turkey
fire
and that,
alight.
They've been keeping the guitar nerds flag flying.
Yeah.
So let's do this one from Sam, who says, new amp time, my thoughts. Fender Princeton Reverb, pricey but great. Vox AC15, too loud. Orange Tiny Terror or Dark Terror for the effects loop, mainly care about the clean tone. Fender Vaporizer or Rampart or maybe an Excelsior. Not sure would the cleans be up to much. Marshall DSL 15 head. Again, cleans any good? Hughes and Kettner Tubemeister 18 head. Too sterile and modern. Anything I've missed? I play Strat clean. Basically want to play Little Wing at bedroom levels. When I say that, I mean it on a beautiful clean tone, not necessarily a Hendrix sound. My VHT Ultra 6 doesn't have any clean headroom. So clean amp at bedroom levels. Where are we going?
Well, he's missed one vital amp off that list.
I wonder what you're going to say.
I mean, the problem is, and you know, I will go into others, but realistically, if you want a Princeton but it's too pricey, your next choice is to buy a Blues Junior.
Yeah.
I think the thing is, there's some great amps on that list. I mean, you know, Tiny Terrors, Dark Terrors are great, but they're not going to give you the clean sound you want. They might give you a bit more bottom end. Vaporizer is great, but
Too loud.
Don't
want a Vaporizer.
Rampart's nice, but I think you find that they're maybe a little bit. They won't give you the depth of sound you get from some of the other amps.
I'd agree. I'd say the same thing for
but
the Excelsior.
If you want something a little bit more versatile, yeah, Tubemeister, great.
Yeah.
Good clean sound, good dry sound. Yeah, maybe a little on the sterile side, but to be honest, I think that at slightly bigger volumes, you can get quite a fat bassy sound out of that. And I mean, if he's got a head, if he's looking to buy a head, I'm assuming he's either got a cab or he wants to buy a cab. If you can, get a cheap 212, like PPC 212OB, for a bit more bottom end.
They're very nice.
Or yeah, buy the 12 combo, because the 12 combo doesn't sound too boxy. I mean, I really like the AC15, but you might have just a bit too much breakup.
I mean, what about AC4? You know, if
it probably won't be clean.
I know. What about there's nothing Blackstone on that list. The AC5s again. I suppose you're struggling with the cleans.
You could go HD20 actually.
Yeah, the shoot. Yeah, the club. The club.
I mean, that's cool. Really nice, and you've got a really nice drive sound on that as well. Yeah, but I mean, clean. You've got a 12-inch speaker.
Yeah.
Fat and bassy. You need to do a 20 head as well, which is reasonable.
So, yeah, all good stuff. And worth mentioning, I mean, if you can go for something a bit bigger, Orange Crush Pro 60. Yeah. Slightly bigger amp. I reckon would still sound great at bedroom volumes, but you could take it out as well.
Yeah.
And as we've discussed, it's not Valve, but I mean, they just sound really good. They sound really good.
If I was going to pick anything on that list, I would say stretch your budget and buy a Princeton, because... Yeah. I've plugged them in recently. I love those 68s, that modified first input channel, which is basically just a modified Tweed 57. They just sound so good.
Yeah, big hit. And if you can't get stretched to that, then
I think a slightly nicer reverb than the Blues Junior, actually.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's just a bit more responsive, isn't it? The Blues Junior reverb does get very washy, which I love, but you know, it's not for everybody. It's not that precise.
And it's not as much bottom end, I think, in the reverb tanks in the Blues Junior. But yeah, I would say Princeton out of all of those. If you want the clean sound, then go for that.
Carl says, I've ordered new tubes today for my Blackstar HT5. I've ordered the same as the originals because I like the sound. Never change a winning team. Is it necessary to set the bias? I've no experience with that and do not have the tools.
I don't know if they are auto bias or not.
What if you're replacing them with exactly the same set of tubes?
They can still vary, though. Because all valves are electronically matched or electronically given a number. And obviously, I think you could probably just put them out and pop the other ones in. But if, say, for example, your valves are slightly hotter than the valves that you've just replaced, even though they're the same ones, the amp's going to run hotter and the valves are going to die quicker. And you're going to get a kind of more bolder sound, bigger sound. Probably very little in terms of notice. And if it's the other way around, they're going to be running too cool. Mm. So your valves will probably last much longer, but you'll probably lose a bit of the kind of oomph that you get from a HT5. I would say if it was one of those things that if you're not sure, take it to a tech. However, a lot of them might be auto bias, but I couldn't say for certain.
I'm having a quick look now, so just seeing what people are suggesting. The wheel itself bias. I mean, is there a danger to the amp if they're not? Okay. So what are people saying?
Unless you put completely the wrong valves in.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's always going to be an issue. I can't find any information now. What we'll do is we'll get on the group and we'll just, once we've got the correct info.
Maybe I'll speak to Blackstar. But I would say that it might be in the manual, but it's one of those things that they probably are not going to put. Because, I mean, it's one of those things that, to be honest, I mean, I've only changed valves like 3 or 4 times in my entire guitar playing life, I think. Not something you have to do very often, but it's not going to hurt the amp in the short term.
If you're replacing it with the same ones. Yeah, okay, so we'll get back to you on that and we'll try and get on the group and give you a definitive answer on that once we've spoken to Blackstar. Ollie says, I'm trying to record into a laptop using a cheap USB MIDI cable from a Pod X3 Live. Not getting anything receiving into Reaper, which is recording software. I've enabled the MIDI device. I'm a total novice at this. Thanks.
I think there were some good answers on the group about this, actually.
There were, yeah.
Was he trying to send audio over MIDI?
Exactly. Is that
the, yeah.
Yes. Which
MIDIs is just ones and zeros.
Yes. Or 127.
Or 127, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, basically, the simple answer is you can't send audio over MIDI.
Yeah, MIDI's like... MIDI is basically the language that computers talk to each other to send program changes.
Yeah.
Where USB can actually send audio back and forth.
So, in the case of... The reason there's MIDI on there, I assume, is so that you can set up... You can either get, for example, a computer to change the patches on your pod, or you can get the pod to change patches on something else, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen people use the pod, so you could just use it as a MIDI controller, and I've seen people set the bottom buttons up as play, record, stop, and then your top button is like a tube screamer, so you can have, you know, you can tell the different buttons to do, which is quite cool, because to have transport controls is quite not handy on the floor if you're recording.
Yeah.
You could practically do anything. You can tell any of the buttons do anything on Reaper. But to send audio is just, you just plug it in via USB, download the correct driver, and it should just come up.
I was going to say, can you do that on an X3 Live? I think
you can, yeah. If it's got USB, I'd imagine that's,
So that is, will actually send the audio. So you plug it in via USB and then almost set it up like a sound card.
Yeah, but say, to be honest, if you've already got a sound card, I would just stick with the sound card you've got and just go straight into the...
Yeah, you definitely can on the X3 because that's the one with the mic modelling on it. So
and the bass modelling as well.
So it is effectively a sound card, essentially.
So you can just use it as a sound card and you can just set it up that way. But I think, as someone pointed out, as boring as it can be, the depths of the manual sometimes have the right answer.
Yeah.
I know those. The great thing about all Line 6 products is they come with a quick start guide, which is just basically tells you all the main things you need to know. But when you actually go to the pilot's handbook, when it's just massive, but it gives you so many like in-depth answers.
That's your favourite bit, isn't it?
I've read the manual. Yeah, I'd never plug them in.
No, just never get plug them the out pedals the box, in. Throw it away. Read the manual, and then done.
Yeah, this pedal. Yeah, it does all. It does all this.
Really good. I remember getting So this is a long time ago. When I got my Flextone 2.
Old school.
That had like a software library, essentially, but it didn't have any USB because it was before USB was like standard on computers.
Right.
And so you could do patch changing. And I remember going onto the library and I was like, I just want to like a Steve Vai kind of sound, just to mess around with. This is a long time ago. And there was one on there. And I was like, wicked. Right, what do I need to do to get this into the amp? I had to buy a printer to MIDI cable. So I had to unplug the printer on my parents' PC, plug in the printer port with this MIDI, and then it would like do the patches that way.
Yeah.
Because you can convert basically... any, like the printer port can essentially send loads of different types of information, but you could set it to send MIDI through this thing,
because I mean that is the great thing about MIDI, is that the first ever like keyboard that had MIDI on will talk to any product now that has MIDI. The language hasn't changed.
Yeah.
Anything MIDI will talk to anything MIDI.
Yeah. I guess that's kind of what they're shooting for with USB, pretty much. Like there's been some revisions in that, but
that's the great. There's a Roland have announced that Sync Box. They've had it out for a while, which basically has got like 4 MIDI ports, 2 DIN syncs, and a USB. So pretty much any dance or like production DJ tool ever will be able to talk to one another and receive the same
in the sync box.
Yeah, amazing.
So you could, it will allow, will it convert like MIDI to USB essentially?
Yeah, and then I think it'll do like MIDI to USB, so you can have like your laptop as the master clock, and then go from there.
Excellent. Jay's like, I don't know.
No
MIDI
idea what you're
Have you ever
about.
Used MIDI?
No.
Never?
No.
Okay, good. That's good to know.
I've never needed to.
Have you ever owned anything that's got MIDI on it? Or in it?
Have you?
Yeah, I'm sort of hoping.
M5? Do you ever have an M5?
Imagine if the Space Echo had MIDI.
What would he do with it?
Plug it into my printer.
I can print this sound.
I just really want to print this Space Echo.
It's like old printers when they were like the ones that had the perforated edges.
Yeah, the computer paper.
I probably shouldn't be saying this, but the entire time you were talking about it, I was thinking about the sound. It was more that when you then unplug your Flextone and plug the printer back in, the noise that the printer will then start making, because it's gone, there's I'm awake. It sounded like
it wasn't like a dot matrix printer. It was like a normal.
The weird thing is that when was I can't remember the last time. This is a bit off topic. I can't remember the last time I actually owned a printer.
No, probably that one then.
Really?
Yeah. The last
my ex had one because she was a teacher and so she needed one. I think the only thing I ever printed off it was
a boarding passes.
Yeah, boarding passes.
That's the only time you ever need a printer. It's the night before you need to fly, and you're like,
no, not anymore. You just go down.
That's why internet cats still exist. Everyone's got a suitcase with them.
Yeah,
totally. I need to print off my boarding pass.
Print. So there we go. In a roundabout way, I guess that's answered the question. Is that audio over USB, program change over MIDI? Next up, Philip says, thinking of upgrading my Boss DS1 to something a bit more versatile. Already have a big muff, so maybe something a bit lighter that holds the clarity a bit more. What were we saying?
SD1. No, I'm a bit facetious.
I said buy 2 Soul Foods.
Okay.
But I mean, it's difficult because DS1 is a pretty unique sound, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing... I can't really think of something that sounds like a DS1.
Because it's weird now. You either buy a fuzz pedal or you buy an overdrive pedal. I think distortion pedals may be less if you're unless you're trying to model that sort of...
What about something from Wampler? Like yeah, a I mean, like Plexi.
I mean, basically, a DS1 is basically trying to model a cranked up Marshall,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, like a. I mean, Cole Martin do the Plexitone.
Yep.
Plexitone Junior, that's pretty good.
What are the Wampler ones? There's Plexi Drive.
Plexi Drive, and then they've got the Euphoria.
Yeah. What's a Plextortion? Is that something else?
That's the bigger one. That's like the deluxe version.
Yeah.
Actually, ZVEX Box of Rock.
Yeah,
really good
that's
for
really
Marshall. Because it's got the inbuilt super hard on, so you've got an inbuilt boost on there as well.
Yeah.
Which I think can come pre or post drive.
Yes,
as well.
It can. Yeah.
So you can have the drive.
You can have a boost after the drive.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Why would you do that?
It just gives a different tonality. It was funny, actually. I was reading an article that Pete Cornish had written in a magazine like 15 years ago about the order that your pedals should go in. And he was like,
of course it was.
I mean, what
did
else
he just
did
he say drive pedals and then shut up?
It was more of a case of who's saying that actually when he designs a lot of his pedals, he doesn't put it lightest drive to most distorted. He actually puts it the other way around, because if you do it lightest to heaviest, all you're doing is stacking more gain. So all you get is a mushier sound. Whereas if you stack drives the other way around, you're changing the overall tonality because you're running a heavier drive into a lighter
drive. I suppose
drive.
All you're doing is if you take a light drive, turn it on, and then put a heavier drive after it, then all the sort of like nuances of the light drive are going to be like evaporated into
that's why I thought recently when I plugged in the soul food, when I plugged in today, I was like, actually, put it at the end of your drive pedals, turn the gain all the way off, and just have the volume. And in theory, you should get a cleaner
boost
because you're not slamming the input stage of the drive pedal, you're just boosting the volume of the drive.
Yeah.
So I thought, actually, you know, it kind of makes sense. So that's why the Box of Rocks is really good, because you can.
I really like the Box of Rock. I think that's a really. All of those pedals are really good.
Are they sub 100 quid?
They're 159 quid.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay,
because that's the Vexta one. They do a hand painted one, but
it's just like 400 quid or something.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that it's the Vexta ones are assembled. Or the PCBs are populated in China.
Yeah.
And then they're wired and assembled.
Yeah. So they put the parts on the PCB, but then wire it all in America.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because DS1 is like your go-to distortion for under 100 quid.
I mean, sell it. Like, if you're...
Yeah, keep it.
Upgrading is a bit of a, like... You're treading on some nerves here. Because,
yeah,
like,
I think when you say upgrading it, it kind of makes you think, well, that's the entry level. It's like, no.
DS1X.
Yeah, I mean, you could do that. Yeah. But then that is a different... That, once again, that's quite a different sound, isn't it?
But yeah, definitely keep it and, like...
Add another one.
Yeah, just buy a lighter drive pedal, so then you've got, like, clean, boosty, overdrive, DS1 and a Big Muff. What do you need?
That's true. I mean, yeah, keep the DS1 and get... Maybe like a soul food.
Something a bit lighter that holds more clarity. Well,
soul food, hot cake.
Mojo.
TC Electronics Mojo. Yeah, and then you've actually got, you're expanding the palette rather than upgrading a pedal that's actually really good.
Yeah.
DS1s are fine.
Great pedal.
We'll come back to that in a second because there's a very similar question. So next up, Sai says, hi guys, there's a ridiculously cheap Blackstar head and cab total about £300. Has anyone played them? Alternatively, I was thinking Blackstar head with a Fender Super Champ enclosure.
Yeah,
what were we thinking?
It was funny on this.
Is this the HT1?
And there's a HT metal cab, is it called? It's
well,
like
they,
a
do,
single...
they do an HT1 and an HT1 metal, but they come in like a full stack.
Yeah.
And they also do, I think. But it was funny because someone had put, oh, have you played them? And then someone just sent them a link to the entire like 100 comment post on the HT5 about 6 months ago.
Oh yeah.
Because we always come back to it because they're brilliant little amps for the money.
Well, what do we think, Blackstar cab or one of the Fender Superchamp cabs?
I'd buy the Blackstar cab.
I'd go Blackstar as well.
The metal cabs, I don't know if the metal cabs have slightly different voice speaker as well.
Okay.
So I think you match the metal head to the metal cab and they look slightly different, but usually companies... It's not just because they want you to buy all their products. It's generally because they've actually thought about how they sound and kind of match the two together.
I guess when they're like shaping the tone of the head and the cab, they put them together and they go, okay, it sounds good or it sounds bad, we need to change something, and then you go and put that onto another cab,
yeah,
you're losing the benefit of all that work that they've done.
The thing that I always think about when I think about these sort of things is how, do you remember how rubbish those Line 6 spider head sounded on anything other than a Line 6 cab?
That was very different, though.
Well, yeah, I know it was, because it was, like...
They needed a full-range speaker.
Absolutely, but, like, yeah, I suppose.
That's a different thing, because they were essentially, like, a pod going into a PA cab, a 4x12
PA
cab.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, it makes sense, really, to go for the head in the cab, particularly on something like this, I think, where... It's not just like you're buying a Marshall DSL-50 and you're going to be taking it to loads of gigs and there'll be different cabs and stuff. This is a home recording setup and a home setup. You might as well get the one it's kind of designed to work with, you know.
Yeah, I completely agree.
So, yeah, Black Star in general. I mean, now that we're sort of 6 months into Black Star.
More than that now, I think.
Is
really?
It? How time flies.
I know.
What we feel about them in general?
Great.
Really good.
Good, solid amps that just works. I mean, the ID Core stuff... still one of the best sounding practice amps, and they do make some good alternatives to Fender amps. The HT series, really good, really really good. The 20, the, I mean, they do a much bigger range. 20 head, 20 combo, 40 head, 40 combo, 40 with vintage 30s, 50 watt combo, and they do 100 watt head as well.
The range, I've not really got, because I'm not on the shop floor much these days, I haven't really got my head around the whole range, but the stuff I've heard is really good.
But then, you know, you look at the HT5 combos and you've got, so 5 watts and they do a one with or without reverb, and then you've got line out, auxiliary in, headphone out, and external speaker out, and they come with a foot switch, and the one without reverb's £299.
Just a great amp for home, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's ideal, really.
Yeah.
Good. Let's do another question. So this is kind of the reverse of the question that we had before about DS1s. Ben says, I'm looking to buy a distortion pedal. Don't want to spend more than around £60. Any suggestions? DS1 springs to mind. Also looking at the Digitech Hothead and Digitech Screaming Blues, just for usage in the bedroom. Don't want anything too gainy. Already own a Bad Monkey and want to push a clean amplifier sound into full-blown distortion. Thanks in advance. So he wants to go from clean to an amp to a distortion, basically. I mean, DS1?
Yeah.
I mean, those Digitech pedals, like the Bad Monkey, so good. And that whole series are actually, for the money, really, really good.
Yeah. I personally didn't really like the Screaming Blues.
I think that Bad Monkey is the best of the bunch, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, by a quite considerable margin.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever played a Hothead.
They're nice. I mean, they sound like a DS1,
but I think
a DS1, you know, just things like the build quality and, you know, you get, you know, the ridiculous warranty that comes with
them. I've got a good little curveball in there. Moore Solo.
Okay.
It's a copy of a Sur distortion pedal. It's really high gain. It sounds amazing.
Really?
Yes, yeah, so much drive.
If you're going down that route, the Moore Green Mile, which is just a tube screamer.
Well, that's what the Bad Monkey is, though, isn't it?
I think he wants to go from straight clean to, like, raging Marshall. So, like, the cheaper
Or the Blade from Moore, which I think is like a rat clone.
Which one? They do a rat clone?
Yeah, called the Blade.
Do they?
I would have called it a mouse or the cat or something. At least it sounds like
the vermin.
The vermin, that makes more sense. You should be in marketing, man.
I should probably be in marketing. Yeah, thanks, man. I need to revisit Moore. Again, I'm realising that they keep bringing out new stuff. And same with Electro-Harmonics that I haven't heard.
Yeah.
There's loads of stuff, like we were talking about the green turnips earlier.
Yeah.
I kind of didn't even know what that... It just snuck
I think
snuck
some
into the
of those
range.
Companies do suffer from the problem of they just make so much stuff.
Yeah.
So many, and it's good that they've got so many ideas and they're like, yeah, we're going to make this and we're going to make that. And then there's so many like Electro-Harmonics pedals you just forget about because they're just like...
Do you know what surprised me, and it came to light again today, about the bass...
Big Muff.
No, Soul the other
food.
One.
Blomper.
Bass Soul Food, that's the one. The one that was released today, you know, the one that I've already forgotten the name of. It's in shops in America already and it'll be here in like a week.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not a name.
They Electro-Harmonics are weird. They leave everything like till I think in a way it's kind of clever because they basically go, this is awesome, this is new, and then they've actually already got the stock ready to go.
As opposed to
it's like, the Sega Saturn.
Yeah.
They announced it and it was in the shops.
Yeah.
As opposed to like the old school version of just going like, oh yeah, this will be out soon. You're gonna really like it. And people get excited about it. And then by the time they've come around,
People are like, yeah, some like 10 other things have come out now that I'm excited about. Yeah, they literally said today, yeah, it's great. They're in shops now. Go get them.
I mean, I think the thing is they knew.
They know what they've got there.
I mean, think the thing is with Soul Food is we never really ran out of stock apart from the initial one because we ordered.
Yeah, the initial 100 that we sold.
I think we've got 40 of the base ones coming in the first shipment.
Right.
So
I just.
Yeah. Anyway, where do we get to on the I mean, DS1, are we saying?
Yeah.
I'd say DS1, or I'd say Mura Solo. Unless you really needed battery power, then buy a DS1.
Yeah. So, Dean says, I'm looking for something for my bass to add, baseboard to add delay and reverb effects. There are good prices on the Vox Stomp Lab and the Zoom G1NU. Isn't it a B1NU on the bass?
They do a B1.
The G1NU is the guitar one. I'm not sure if the bass one is called the B1NU, but it's the B something.
The thing is, the modulation and reverbs are the same. It's just that there's bass modelling on the bass one.
Right. Okay. So, he says, my main concern is how hard it is to bypass the unit. And on many, you need to hold down 2 foot switches and wait for a light. Not best for practice or rehearsals. Obvious choice is a Zoom B3, but it's more than I want to pay until I know how much it will get used. I'm going to throw in a curveball. What was the Zoom stomp box that was just...
The IB something, wasn't it? They had the IG series, IG stomp box. No, but wasn't the one you're thinking of?
Yeah, wasn't there one that just did delays and reverbs? Like a
MS-70 CDR? That's it, that's the
chorus,
MS-70.
Delay and reverb?
Yeah.
And a lot of those would be fine for
bass. The problem is, though, is that the annoying thing with those was no like preset on and off.
Yeah, you've got a...
It was just like the pedals on, and then... Because basically you could chain 6 effects together, and then you went along the chain, and then the button just turned them on and off, so you'd leave like 4 or 5 effects on at once.
Could you plug in like an external foot switch to switch up and down?
No. It was a good unit, but
it was a little bit limiting.
It was a little bit limiting.
I mean, how much is the B3? Because I hadn't read through these questions, I do apologise.
The B3, I think, comes in at like 160 quid.
Honestly, that would have been... Because I think the B3 is a really, really great unit.
I'm going to look it up now.
Vox do a smaller one called the IB Labs. So they do the IG Lab and the I... And that's just 2 buttons.
Okay.
2 actual, like, click buttons.
Okay.
Do you know what? A Zoom B3 is 109 quid. I'm going to say just go for the B3. Like, I know what you're saying about not sure how much you're going to use it, but... On all of the bass forums that I, you know, glance at, everyone raves about the B3.
Yeah.
Like, so many people who in the past have gone, yeah, just use like boutique stuff and that, like, love the B3. I think it's like a little, you know, just a little undiscovered gem for bass players. I mean, I would say spend the extra if you can get the B3.
How much are the Stomp Labs?
I will have a look now. So Vox Stomp Lab bass. Yeah. Let's have a look. This is great radio.
Yeah, I mean, well, Mark sits on his phone.
I'm looking at prices.
Quick.
So what's it called? The
Stomp Lab. I think it's called the Stomp Lab, yeah. The IB?
Stomp Lab Bass. It is £43. No, wait. £74.99.
Is that the one?
This is confusing. So they do a few. That one there?
Yeah, that's the one.
£49.99.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very cheap, isn't it?
Crazy money.
Actually, £43.99, even better. Yeah. It's all over the place.
I mean, I really do think the B3 is because you've got.
Well, you can set it up however you want.
Can you assign the third button as a tap tempo, or does it have to be?
Don't know.
I don't think you can. The great thing about it is it's
the same as the MS-70 is that you can have a chain of 6 effects.
Yeah.
So you can set up a chain of 6 effects, and then 3 buttons can control 3 of those at any one time. But you can have like amp modelling on and stuff as well. And I do miss my MS-70 sometimes.
It's just a
little bit of a slightly annoying setup process because you can set it up so you can turn it on and off, but it's not the easiest thing to.
You wouldn't get that on the B3 because there's more.
Yeah,
well, you've got the extra foot switches. So
yeah, the tape echo sounded really good on the MS-70, didn't it?
I think that's what blew us away with those Stomp Lab stuff, which they're the same modelling in the B and G series, aren't they? They just sounded really good.
That was part of that. Do you remember we went through that whole phase of like Zoom releasing stuff and us being like, oh, this is going to be crap.
And it was really good.
Like, and every time they brought something out, it was like, oh, yeah, I'm not even going to bother. This is going to be rubbish.
I sold a G1 to someone the other day and it was £43.
Yeah, £43 quid, I think.
£43 quid, and it's got a looper in it, a tuner, auxiliary input, headphone direct out, so you can just plug headphones in, like 100 different effects, amp models.
And that's a lot for money.
And like, yeah, with the little drum machine, you're just like, that's so much for not a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah. Alternatively, thinking of another option, how about a more delay and a more reverb?
Yeah. The thing is, that a good option, but it does cut, you might as well just buy a B.
Yeah, because they're going to be 60 quid each.
Yeah. 60 quid each.
Yeah.
But going back to the Skyverb. Have you tried that one yet?
No.
That's the one based on the blue sky, obviously.
Yeah.
It's banging.
Yeah.
Banging, there we go. Jay's new catchphrase. Everything's banging. So there we go. So there's some options for you. If you need any more, just drop us a line on the old Facebook group and we will go from there. Two questions left. Kevin says, question for the nerds on amp modelling pedals. If I wanted to travel light to a gig and use an amp modelling pedal such as the Tech 21 Blonde straight into a mixer and PA, would it be better suited in front or in the mixer channel send and return?
In the front,
in the
surely.
Front. Yeah, yeah.
Do we think that, or
depends how good the mic preamps are in the? Or depends how good the preamps are in the mixer.
Yeah, I think you could.
But
go...
how are you? Oh, actually, no. I suppose if you've got a stage box, you plug into the stage box, and then the stage box will go to the mixer.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I would say unless you're using your own PA
that you know
how it works.
Yeah.
Just go in the front end.
So the thing is that the Blonde would be great, but for me, I'd have a Flyrig 5.
Yeah.
And then I've got. And I have it in front of me, and then I've got all the stomp buttons I want. I've got boost, I've got drive, I've got delay.
That's the ultimate travelling light pedal, isn't it? Because it's got the Sans Amp guitar modeler in there.
Yeah.
And what else is it? Chorus?
No, you can get a chorus by turning down the delay time and up the modulation rate on the delay. So you've got delay, the Sans Amp, which has got its own reverb, and then you've got the Plexi, which has got the boost control. And they do a Richie Kotzen signature, which has got more drive in it.
I know, it's so silly.
What, the Flyrig?
Yeah, the Richie signature of Richie Kotzen, yeah.
Flyrig.
Do you know what? I think we overlooked the Flyrig on the Gear of the Year. That should have been in there.
Yeah, I think the problem is with that is it wasn't anything new. It was just
it's
a
just
good idea.
A combination of stuff that we'd kind of already seen before.
Talking of a second ago, I'm saying, oh, announcing a product, and you go, oh my God, amazing, I want one. And then it just takes forever. What happened to the T-Rex one that came out that they did at NAMM? They went, oh, here's this one where we've put all these awesome T-Rex pedals we do in this one box.
Did it not make it here?
I've yet seen it.
well, there we go.
Just tweaking it. You've already made the pedals. You just stick them together.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, I think for ease of use, just go in the front end. Maybe get a Flyrig 5 because they're wicked.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Let's do one last question. So this one is from Joe, who says...
Joe Brandon. He's not here.
Is that why he's not here? Because he's embarrassed that we're answering his question?
Yeah. Right, okay. Gotcha. He's tweeting him in live. Joe says, again, I turn to you guys for some good advice. I've got just under £300 to get a decent guitar that isn't a shred guitar. What should I go for? 300 quid. What are we saying? What would you buy for 300 quid? Just under 300 quid.
Just under 300 quid.
Isn't a shred guitar. I'm trying to think of something cool.
I tell you what I'd get for just some 300 quid that isn't a shred guitar that's cool.
You're going to steal what I was going to say, I think.
Epiphone Dot.
Oh, yeah, okay.
299.
Yeah, get an Epiphone Dot.
I'm going to stick on the Epiphone route. 339 Pro, P90.
Yeah.
299. Great.
That's
doesn't the Pro...
same price as the...
No, 2229, I think, actually.
Doesn't the
299?
Yeah, it's got a 9 in it.
This one's 299. This one is 299.
Yeah, 229, I think.
Doesn't the Pro denote coil taps or something as well?
Not on this... Actually, I think you might have some coil tap, even though it's the P90 one.
Because it's a coil tap rather than a coil split. How much can you get a Dan Electro... for these days?
329.
You lose. Well, it depends.
Unless we do your deal.
Depends what colour you get, I think, at the moment. Because I think some of the.
What if I wanted
the DC-59s?
Blue.
Which blue you want.
Blues.
Because there's baby come back blue.
Okay.
And there's go-go blue.
I think
a couple of them are 299. I think some of them are 299 and some of them are 329. They are very cool.
I would go for a Dan Electro.
What about
299?
Oh man, there's loads.
I was going to say the Ibanez RC Rodecore 320. I think they're 279.
It's not really a Shred guitar either, is it? Yeah, it's like that Rodecore.
It's like a Jazzmaster sort of. And then there's a plethora of classic vibe Tellies and Strats. Tellies.
The what 273 still, or have they gone up a touch?
A little more than that, really.
They might just come in a touch over the 300.
Yeah, quid, yeah, right. Yeah. But you know, there's loads of Les Paul, loads of Epiphone Les Pauls, SGs.
Hofner Shoei.
Not.
What about the there's Burnt Marquee?
Yeah.
If you want something like a little bit
that's
different.
Definitely very cool.
299. Like, or 300 quid. You can get so many good guitars for 300 quid now. And we bang on about it a lot. But when you actually, like, say them all, that's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're all really good.
Yeah.
Like, those Dan Electros are pretty much just how Dan Electros have always been.
I mean, I had one and I loved it. I mean, it was like, it was a toy. But until you, like, if you put some, like, drive on it just sounds incredible.
Yeah,
have you, someone on the Facebook group's got one of those weird
square ones
that they did. The kind of like rounded like rectangle.
What was it called? It was called like the Dano Pro. It was called
we got one in stock at the moment in the alligator finish,
maybe
blue alligator.
Is it 67? The 67, I think.
Oh,
that
it's
was
a
called.
Slightly different shape, isn't it?
Yeah, so they did the 59 67. I want them to bring back the one, what's the flower one called? The ridiculous psychedelic one they did for a while.
That was just the DC-59, but it was in a
crazy colour.
Yeah. Psychedelic flower finish.
But they just. Or you could get the Dan Electro Electric Sitar.
Do they still do it?
Yeah,
do
we've got one in stock.
Do we? What?
Yeah. You know the one, it's not the one you're thinking of with the drone strings. It's the one that's got the, it's basically
the Buzz Bridge.
Buzz Bridge, yeah.
Let's do a demo video on that. Very good. So, just quickly to sum up, you got 300 quid to spend. What would you go for?
A classified telly.
Okay. No. Aren't they more than that?
300 quid. Okay.
Cabernet. Cabernet with Bigsby. 264 quid. Yeah. Amazing. What guitar for the money?
Do you know what? I didn't get any guitar-related Christmas presents, but I sort of helped give one.
Yes, you did.
In that my girlfriend's dad got a Cabernet Hardtail for Christmas, and I played on it on the Christmas day or whatever it was that we went around there. Unbelievable. He had that and a microcube, and it was wicked. Great fun. So, Cabernet...
I probably would go Epiphone Dot.
Okay.
If you was to say what's the best guitar in the shop for less than 300 quid, I'd probably say Epiphone Dot.
Yeah. I'm going to say Dan Electro DC-59 just to be different, and if you want something with a bit of retro cool, that's something to look out for. So there we go. Thanks for sending in all your questions this week. As always, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds group, or you can join us on the official GAK Facebook page, facebook.com/GAK music, or on Twitter @GAK_co_UK, or on Joe Branton's crazy world of Instagram, which is I think we're just @GAK_music. On there, or you can speak to us individually. You can get me @Mark_random on the Twitter. Matt Knight, how can people get in touch?
You can tweet me @Matt_Knightsy. That's Knight with SOE on the end. Although I'm just more into the Facebook group.
Yeah.
Because it's just so much going on there.
Yeah.
Or email me for deals and ting on matt.knight@gak.co.uk.
Jay Cross.
J.cross@gak.co.uk is my email. My Twitter is JAYBM1. Those are the two things.
Those are the two things
that I have.
I mean, the Facebook group, basically.
Facebook group is great. And actually, I'm getting a bit nosed off with the...
with Twitter?
With the app. The app is rubbish.
The Twitter app?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's got really slow recently, and it's doing me head in.
Okay. Just tag us in a post on the Facebook group. Yeah. That's probably the quickest way to get us, isn't it?
Yeah.
Good. All right, well, thanks for listening. And here's to a good 2015. And we'll see you next week.
2015?
That's the future.
Wow, who knew? Cheers, guys.
Flying cars and that.
See you later.
Hi, it's Jay from GAK. We're really excited about the bloody things. Had to stop him at least twice because the slapping on his knees was too loud.